You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, joined every week by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And actually, that's going to change very soon. It's going to be coming live via live stream from Tennessee and from Italy. So God is really blessing all of us. What's that phrase? If you build it, they will come. Well, once you start something, you'll recognize if it's in His most holy divine will, if it blossoms, if it prospers, and this, of course, is. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. Our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, Mother, today is the Feast of Our Lady of the Pillar, and I have to admit, shamefully, to the extent I didn't know much about this feast day, but I just did a little bit of research, and if I can just read a couple lines, and please add, because you are much more well-versed in this than I am. But in the year 36 A.D., while she was yet on earth, our Blessed Mother, Our Lady bilocated and appeared to St. James, the Apostle, on the banks of the river Ebro, near the city of Caesar. She appeared accompanied by celestial music on a six-foot pillar of jasper. Her purpose was to comfort and encourage St. James and his disciples. Our Lady commanded that a chapel be built on the spot of her honor, and she promised her assistance to those who invoke her. The apostle was quick to carry out the wishes of the Queen of the Apostles. End quote. So when I read this, Mother, Our Lady appeared to comfort, to fortify, to encourage St. James in a time perhaps when there was some dryness, there was some oppression, there was some, fighting against what they were working for, the kingdom of God. And isn't she doing the same right now with us, and actually in a greater capacity? I mean, giving us the entire the Virgin Mary and the kingdom. It's all about encouragement. It's all about comfort. And it's all about making promises to each and every one of us that if we trust her, she's going to guide us directly to the side of her Son. It's incredible. Our Lady is always there when we need her. And I can speak personally for that, but I won't right now. Mother?
Well, you know, this is the month of the Rosary, so it's Our Lady's month too, October, and so yeah. It's a great time to talk about Our Lady. But you know, yes, God is sending His Mother to console us right now. How long has she been appearing in Medjugorje and other places? Garabandal, she appeared a lot. You know, way back in Fatima and Lourdes, she only appeared a few times. But now her apparitions have escalated. There are many visionaries out in the world. I'm sure some are not. Are false, but you know, most of them I think are really authentic apparitions and messages. And so God is bending over backwards to try to get us to turn to Him, and He's sending His Mother to help us do that. We pray every night to the Flame of Love Rosary. Elizabeth Kindleman got that beautiful message from our Lord that the flame of love was coming to come to the earth through this beautiful, well, through many, many ways, but one is the Flame of Love Rosary, to put the Hail Mary, the Flame of Love prayer in the Hail Mary, asking the love of the Trinity to come to the whole world through Our Lady. So everything comes to us through Our Lady. So she's a great consoler. She's a great mother, great teacher. We have to go to her and ask her to obtain the grace for us. that we want to live truly in the divine will. She wants it for us more than we want it. But we don't be afraid to ask. You know, ask and you shall receive. And so let's continue to ask and pray for that grace from our mother to help us to live totally in God's divine will. I was just reading here in volume one, it says, your trust must be only in me. God is calling us to trust only in him. And these days coming and has been in the past, chastisement days, it's going to get worse. We're going to have to really trust in God. And our mother will help us to grow in trust. She will take your hand and lead you and help you grow in faith and trust and hope. But don't worry, things really great are coming around the corner. But first we have to go through this purification, which is good. Purification is a gift from God to purify the world and the church so that we can have this glorious church, a glorious world like never before. It goes on to say, be resigned because resignation renders the soul radiant and it keeps all other passions in their place. In such a way that attracted by those rays of light, I go into that soul and I transform her completely within me and I make her live from my own life. So we should have to be resigned to whatever's happening at the moment. When you suffer in the future, there may be diseases. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe war, diseases, whatever is going to happen. To be resigned. How do we get resigned? We have to work on our spiritual life right now so that at hard times we can be resigned to whatever's happening with gratitude, with love, with joy and peace in our souls. But I think we're going to get there right now by praying our rosaries, praying them well, going to Mass, going to adoration, reading the divine will writings that our Lord gave Louisa. Doing all these things will help you in hard times to be resigned to whatever's happening. And that's what's going to make you a saint. Everybody wants to be a saint. You should want to be a saint. God wants you to be a saint more than you want to be a saint. But how do you get there? You got to die to yourself. You got to be resigned to God's will every moment. You can't live in his divine will unless you do his will and be resigned to his will, whatever it is at the moment. So it goes on to say, true resignation can change the nature of things, turning bitter into sweet. So when you resign, the pain is not so bad. The cross is not so difficult. You have peace in your soul and joy in your heart and soul. So sometimes the cross can even give you greater joy. Someone was telling me the other day, I think Sister Francesca was mentioning someone that had cancer and suffering very much. And she's got such peace and joy. She's so happy. She's happier now than before she had the cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a grace from God. Some people get grace, special graces from God when they have to suffer tremendously. And this woman evidently got it. She's got more joy now than before she had the cancer. So, you know, as we grow in our faith and our hope and our love and our charity, we're gonna have more joy and peace in the cross. So, you know, read the divine will so that you can have that faith in what our Lord tells Louisa is true and have resignation at the time of the cross when you have to suffer tremendously. We don't know what God's going to call us to suffer. We don't have to worry about chastisement. You don't have to even think of chastisement. You have to realize we're being chastised every day through our little crosses to transform our souls. And you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. My grandfather used to say, you know, they've been talking about the end of the world since I was a little boy. He says the end of the world comes every day for many people. And right. So we don't know when our end's going to come. This could be your last day. So how do you live your last day? You know, would we take it more seriously and live it more for God? So, you know, we don't know. We don't have to think of chastisement so much as God is preparing us to enter into eternity at every moment. And we don't know when that's going to happen to each one of us. So prepare your soul by just doing his will, living in his will, seeking him, being resigned to whatever he wants, and trusting in God, trusting to know that he knows best for us. What's going to happen, what he's going to allow in the world is the best thing that could ever happen to us. So we have to trust in him for that.
You know, Mother, if you think about that, I think there was even a song written about it. But let's say we knew today was going to be our last day. We would be so efficient in our time. We'd be so effective in what we wanted to do, again, through the grace of God. So again, not to be despondent, but we ought to treat every day as if it's our last, because we don't know, it might be. I mean, one of those days eventually is going to be our last day. And it's a whole paradigm shift. Another paradigm shift also is, you know, you mentioned about the flame of love. I mean, the flame of love is the love of God, embodied in us and coming piercing like a sword. So we have to recognize also God is going to draw us into the divine will through everything that he gives us, all devotions, all apparitions, everything that God has given us throughout the 2000 years has been, and he talks about it in volume 16, has had as its primary purpose to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God, to bring us back to the prelapsing era of Adam. So everything points to the divine will. If we recognize that, again, we can enjoy the journey because, you know, the journey, you know, think about when you go on vacation, if you're going in a car, half the journey, if not more, is in the car. So if you start enjoying the vacation in the car, right, it's a fuller vacation than waiting to get there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example. Yeah, the apprehension of where you're going to makes you enjoy the trip. Sometimes just the flight when you're going somewhere is very enjoyable because of the excitement of where you're going. But even on those journeys, you have the crosses. You know, you have whether you're traveling by car or by plane, there are crosses. A lot of times your flights are canceled or there's a delay and you get very nervous and stressed, or you're going to make your next flight to wherever you're going. So even though you know, we enjoy traveling, we enjoy seeing all these beautiful things God has created for us all around the world, it is a trial to get there sometimes. And that's what we have to have this trial right now to get where he wants us to be in the spiritual life. He wants you to become a great saint, not small saint, a great saint. And those living in the divine will be the greatest saints in the history of the church. So, you know, start now. Don't wait. Don't waste time. Because you don't know if tomorrow is the last day, you know, right. But you can live in the divine will today, you know, and just do one act in divine will. And that's a great, great gift that God would give to you to allow you to have one act in his divine will by him coming into your acts right now. So we shouldn't waste any time, but take our lives seriously, realizing every day is a great gift from God. Every moment, every minute is a great gift, and every minute is gone forever. Never come back again. Whatever we did with that minute is done and over with, and you can't redo it. So, you know, to try to live every moment of our days for God alone, and you're going to have great joy and peace in your soul.
Right. Three theological virtues: faith, hope,
and love and charity.
that's the most important during this marathon. But, you know, Jesus in volume 2 defines faith. He says, really, just very simple, faith is God. And faith is God. Right. Hello, Sister Magdalena.
Hey, Peter. Hello, everybody. I just would like to, you know, tag along with the idea that living in the moment, and you said earlier, Peter, that it's very important to really be prepared as if this is our last, and requires a state of grace, because there are probably people out there who misunderstood divine will. They think that when you live in the divine will, or you have the divine will, you don't have to go to confession, you don't have to do any of the things at all, not even going to mass or anything. But you know what? How can we be in a state of grace without the sacraments? The Lord speak in these volumes. If you just take time to read the volumes, Jesus and Luisa prayed the rosary, Luisa went to confession, the Lord talks about the sacraments, the Eucharist, especially going to Mass, how Mass is so holy, and the office of the priest. So it is very important to live in a state of grace every moment of our life, living it in the moment. And if we committed a grave sin, which we all do because we're very weak sometimes, you know, we're pushed to the limit, and sometimes even to the point of committing grave sin, mortal sin, we have to go to confession. There is no negotiation on that one. And if we commit minor sins, you know, like sins that are not mortal, but they're still deadly, but they're still, if you don't repair that, it accumulates and then it becomes deadly, then we can go to Mass every day, or preferably go to confession. But if not, going to Mass every day, doing the confiteor, and truly repentant in our heart, not just going to confession with the words, but truly repent from the heart. It has to come from the heart. It has to have a desire to change our lives. If we committed a sin, there has to be a compunction. There has to be a desire to not do it again, even though we know we're going to do it again. But there is an intention not to. And if we make it a habit, we receive the grace. If we ask the Lord the grace to please change my heart, Lord, I am very proud, I'm very arrogant, or I don't have the discipline to control myself with addictions, whatever it is, ask the Lord and we'll give it to you. He said, knock and the door will be open. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. And we have to trust. You know, you said faith. Faith is God himself. So if we have this faith, we have to, and I trust me, my personal experience, I really know that I have, over the years that I've tried to practice the virtue and asking with the grace of Our Lady and Our Lord, I know I'm not the same 10 years ago. I know I'm not the same 5 years ago. I know I made some progress. I may have backsliding a little bit, but there is a progression. It's like God writes in my life crooked lines, straight line and crooked lines, because I'm not perfect. God is not making crooked lines for me. I am the one that's making these crooked lines. But God always calls me towards himself. And whenever I hear him call me, I would go back. I will turn around and say, okay, Lord, I'm so sorry. I go to confession. Then it raises up a little bit. It's like the stock market. You know, if you look at the graphs of the stock market and how it goes over time, your investments goes high. You know, the longer you stay and be persevering and consistent, eventually you're going to get there. We just have to be patient with ourselves because God is patient with us. Some time ago, the sisters and I were talking about, you know, patience, how God is so patient with us. We are the ones that are not patient. So speaking of grace, I would like to share with you, I've actually shared this last night with Maris Hill, but I would like to share with you again, because this really is very important to me. And speaking of Our Lady of Grace, you know, that Our Lady of Pilar, Our Lady of Pilar, I've actually went to Zaragoza, Spain many years ago. It was really? A pilgrimage. Yes, yes, oh, Peter, nice. It's so beautiful. It was a Marian pilgrimage that I went with Archbishop Dennis Schnorr. So anyway, one of the stops was in Zaragoza, Spain. And you know what's amazing? I'd never heard of it. I've heard of Our Lady of Pilar, but I didn't know the story about her by locating. So I'd never heard until I got there. And there's a little spot, a little chapel, a porciuncula, kind of like a real, real chapel inside a basilica, a big basilica, but inside this little spot where the pillar was erected. And it's still there. And there's a rock where people were praying over this rock to touch the pillar. And it's been there since the time of apparition, Our Lady by locating. And that rock is already indented, really indented from all the knees. For 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years of people going in there kneeling, there is an indention. And there was a special moment. I really felt strong grace there on that Our Lady and the ornament. It was beautifully, beautifully made and paintings. That's all I can remember. It was like heavenly. And so Our Lady really is she's the source of all graces, Our Lady of Grace, source of all graces, if you come to her. So that's why I'm so amazed at this passage that I'm reading. I'm going to read it to you. And it's about, volume 4, June 30, 1901. And these are the signs to know whether the soul possesses grace. Now, talk about grace. I think grace can also be divine will. How do we know that we possess the divine will? How do we know that we possess grace? How do we know that we are in the state of grace? One sign, the Lord says, is joy. And let me just read the passage to you. My daughter, do you want to know what the signs are to know whether the soul possesses my grace? Lord, if it pleases your most holy goodness, and the Lord replied, the first sign to see whether the soul possesses my grace is that in anything that belongs to God, which she may hear or see externally, she feels a sweetness, a gentleness, fully divine in her interior, which is not comparable to anything human and terrestrial. I'll stop here because, you know, we look at things, many, many things that God created. How often do we miss that? How often do we feel joy in our heart? How often do we think of thanking the Lord because everything is created by him? We are so distracted with things that we want of the world. Like, I want a big house. I want this particular car. I want this particular color, that when God gives us something, we don't feel happy because it's not what we want. Instead of just, like Mother mentioned earlier, instead of emptying ourselves or our personal want and desire to give it all to God, then whatever comes along the way, be it suffering, be it consolation, we feel joy. We feel gratitude because the fact that it comes from God, that's really all that matters. So that Mother mentioned about this lady, the young lady that Sister Francesca shared with us, she has cancer. The reason why she's ever more joyful now than before was because before she did not really think of her life so much now. She didn't value it because it was always there. How many times we don't value our life when we are healthy? We don't think about it. We eat what we want. We eat whatever. But then when our life is maybe threatened to be taken away, then we realize how precious life is. And then we think more of it. And then we are grateful for whatever life brings to us because we realize its value. So the same thing, if we only value everything that we see in our environments, be it like beautiful or not to us beautiful, but everything is beautiful for God because God creates everything beautiful. And if he gives us suffering, as ugly as it is, it has a purpose. It has a beautiful purpose. In fact, like Mother said earlier, that's what probably will make us become more saints, more saintly, our suffering. Not that, you know, speaking of becoming a higher, you know, having a higher place in heaven, you know, as some most often we talk about, oh, I want to do this. I want a higher place in heaven. It's not because I want to have the center of attention in the celestial realm or that I want more. For me, if I wanted a higher place in heaven, because the higher place, the higher you get there, the closer you are to God. So if you want a higher place in heaven, it is because we want to be closer to God. If possible, I want to be sitting on his lap. Wouldn't it be the most beautiful than to be just watching him from a few meters away? I want to be on his lap. So that is the goal that we want to do.
And you know, sister, that's what Jesus says is the definition of an upright intention. We want it for God. Yes. We want it because yes. God wants it. We want it because we love God.
Yes, exactly. And then the second signs here that we are living in a state of grace, he mentioned, was, the second sign is that the speaking of the soul who possesses grace is peaceful and has the virtue of casting peace into others. So now we are facing a critical time. You know, it seems like maybe war is coming upon us or every disasters that may come upon us. If we trust in the Lord, if we really have faith in him, and if we have confidence that he is the good father, if we really believe that he is the good father, and we have confidence in that, we should always have peace. And you know what did Jesus say? You do not be afraid of the death of the flesh. Be afraid of the death of the soul. So even if we die, you know, if we become martyrs, we die in the love of God. We die in the embrace of God. That's really all matter. You know, if I have to choose, and I really hope that when that time comes, that I will have the grace to surrender my life in full loving God fully, you know, because I'd rather die, my flesh dies in the arm of God, than to continue to live in my flesh away from the will of God. That should be our desire. That is my desire. And I pray and hope that the Lord will give me the desire of my heart. The third sign, Jesus says, that we are living in a state of grace is, the other sign is the stripping of self. You know, I mentioned about, he said that he strips us up, strips us of the things of the world. He wants to remove from us our attachments to the world, because when we are attached ourselves to possessions in this world, we become distracted from our desires to love God. Because then when we turn away from God, even a small degree, even just a one degree of turning away from God, that is already a distraction. And that gives our desire gets weakened. So now it turns away from God, and now it turns towards ourselves. What I want, what I desire. You know, I listened to a speaker a long time ago. You know, if you really look at sin, say, for example, God or virtue is about 1 meter away or 1 kilometer away from us. And I'm here at this point. And I am going a straight line from here to that target, 1 kilometer away. Now, if I decide to turn 1 degree, just 1 degree from this, you know, from my point to 1 kilometer, maybe that 1 degree is insignificant. But if I continue that 1 degree path consistently, I'm going to miss the mark. You see? So even 1 degree turning away from God, if we don't rectify that sooner by going to confession, by repenting and doing the right thing, doing the will of God, we're going to be lost. There is guarantee. So, yes. So Our Lady teaches us how to live. And how did Our Lady do that? By her fiat.
And, you know, one thing we can do right now to change all this is, you know, Jesus tells us, I don't have the volume in front of me, but he says these graces are gifts. But he says a gift is not confirmed, is not completed until we, the creature, respond to it. He says, if we don't respond, the grace basically is sent back to sender, but actually doesn't go back to God. It goes into like a limbo state. It goes halfway between heaven and earth, waiting for that grace to be used. So one thing we can do right now is, and what's a response? A response can just be thank you, can just be gratitude in everything he gives us. That completes the gift. I mean, think about how many gifts that God has showered that that are not used, that can be used. It's just incredible. You know, we Our Lady says this too in day 31. She says, speaking to us also, and Louisa, she says, do you see then, dear child, what it means to live in my divine will? And I think if we're asking ourselves that question, that just means, like Mother tells us, it means we need to read more, we need to listen more, we need to ponder more, we need to meditate more. But one thing we do know is God says he's given us everything. It's all complete. Nothing yet remains until we read, know, digest, and share this with all. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We're going to talk about a few things. But Mother's got one thing to carry over from the first half of this program. And then we're going to talk a bit about the Mariathon. Very, very important. Mother?
Yeah, well, I was just looking here at volume 2, July 28th, 1899. Our Lord says, "The crosses which I send, if they receive them with resignation and thank me for them, I amuse myself and I play with them, delighting immensely, receiving great honor and glory, and letting them make the greatest gains. Resignation absorbs all that can be painful and disgusting to one's nature and renders it sweet. And since my being is peaceful and tranquil, in such a way that no matter what may happen in heaven or on earth, it cannot receive the slightest breath of the disturbance, resignation has the virtue of grafting these very virtues of mine into the soul. A resigned soul is always at rest, and not only herself, but she also allows me to rest peacefully in her." You know, I was thinking just now, mind over matter. If you don't mind, things don't matter. We have to think of that when things are hard, when you're struggling. Everybody has crosses, some crosses bigger than other crosses. And I think the more we suffer, the more these crosses come our way, the easier the next cross becomes. We get more immune to crosses through the cross. People who never suffer can't take anything. So our Lord is in his love for us, allows us to experience the cross to make us stronger spiritually and emotionally and psychologically also, you know. So you see little children with diseases sometimes that are fatal diseases dying, and they have such joy and peace and resignation because some of them from the very beginning of their lives, they suffered. And it transformed these children into beautiful, beautiful souls. And some of them here in Italy, we read, you can Google and find some on internet, these special little souls that lived heroic lives of suffering and were very much transformed and touched so many hearts and souls around them. Some of them are up for beatification. So, you know, God gives the grace through the cross. The more we suffer, the greater the grace comes, and we can be more resigned as we suffer more and more. And I know we're talking a lot about suffering right now. There are people all over the world right now suffering. And if you may be in a state that things are going very well for you right now, but you have to remember those souls, those poor souls that are suffering right now, the souls in purgatory, pray for them, how much they're suffering, and they're longing for our prayers. They're longing for us to do everything we do for them to suffer our sufferings, to get them out of purgatory, to fast and pray for them, to have masses offered for them. And they will pray for you, and they'll get to heaven, and they'll be greeting you when you get there. So, you know, pray for the poor souls in purgatory, because we know that they're suffering tremendously from that absence of God, that they long to be with him so much.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Mother, you mentioned about how when we suffer, we're actually being prepared to suffer. In fact, Jesus says that in volume 1. He says, two quick quotes, if I may. Quote, "My beloved, the things in the past have been nothing but a preparation." End quote. Really strong statement there. And secondly, he says, this we have to ponder, in volume 1, quote, "What you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials." End quote. So again, God is letting us know that there's going to be trials, but he also says, kiss the hand of mine that strikes you. Because like you've said many times, Mother, if God's permissible will throws something in our lives that we believe is sort of like a monkey wrench throwing things off, it's not throwing things off. It's actually trying to make things better. It's like that bumper car hitting the wall and going somewhere else. Yeah. But it all comes down to, you know, Mother, it comes down to charity. And charity is one of the virtues that I wasn't well-versed on, but, you know, Jesus really, through that explication, really identifies this as really being vital. He says in volume 4, Jesus says, quote, "The most essential and necessary thing in a soul is charity," end quote. Wow, the most important. He says, because charity binds the other virtues. How can you have faith and hope if there's no charity? And that's what brings us to the Mariathon. We have to have charity. We can have charity in a myriad of different ways. We can have a spiritual charity. We can pray for the success and the growth of Radio Maria. And we can also have charity financially, which in this world is very necessary. So if you can be charitable, again, Jesus says the most essential and necessary thing in the soul is charity. If you can, please go to radiomaria.us, or simply call 888-408-0201. And again, for your charity, we're going to also try to be as charitable as we can. We're going to offer two gifts. First is going to be a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of her clothing and a prayer to Luisa and the contact information on the back of the card, whom to contact when, not if, when you experience your miracle. Second gift we'd like to offer to anyone making a donation, hopefully a recurring monthly donation, will be a I Am Catholic card. It's about the size of a credit card. It says, I am Catholic. In the event of an emergency, please call a priest. On the back, it says, come divine will, pray my praying, and has the act of contrition. Again, hopefully we don't need this soon, but maybe someone that we know may need this. Both of these gifts are free for anyone making a donation to Radio Maria during this Mariathon. Again, go to radiomaria.com or .us, or simply call 888-408-0201. See, Mother, what happens when you have penmanship that you can't even read your own writing? It's atrocious. I write like a child. Children, no, that's a disgrace. Children write better than I do. That's a better
Yeah. Well, you know, you talked about charity. Charity is love. God is love. So love is the greatest thing. And that's what the Divine Will Writings are all about. God loving us, and he wants that love returned to him. It's a round of love. Everything is love, you know. And it's like, you know, if a surgeon has to fix you, he has to cut you open, put you to sleep to do it. Sometimes God puts us to sleep when we had adoration. We fall asleep. And
wow, I like that analogy. I like that analogy.
Fixing us during that time, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, the doctor has to put you, to cut you open. He has to put you to sleep, and, you know, he fixes. Then when you come to, you really hurt a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to take painkillers and stuff to get over the surgery. But, yeah, but the doctor's trying to fix you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to get you better, you know. When we get any kind of disease or sickness, you have to take medication for it. Sometimes the medication has side effects, but it's the only way you can get better. So it's how God fixes us in the spiritual life. You know, we have to be wounded. A loving father disciplines his child if he really loves his child. You know, when I took sociology, I remember them saying statistically, the children are closer to the parent that was disciplining them the most. In the right way, in a loving way, they're closer to that parent that disciplines. So, you know, that's going to bring us closer to God too. The more he disciplines us to get us to become those great saints he wants us to be, it's going to come through cross and resignation to the cross, accepting God's will in the present moment.
Okay, so I understand that. It's okay, so we know we must be charitable. Jesus says we must be. So we're charitable to Radio Maria. What's the side effect? Well, our checking account is a little less, but you know what? A little less is a lot more. Diba?
Yeah, true. And actually, when we donate, you know, give some charitable to Radio Maria and this very good program, it's also a form of almsgiving, because we're not millionaires. We don't have a lot of money to do this. So in a way, we are poor, and we chose to be poor because we want God to be our wealth. And so we depend on charitable hearts. When you pray, ask to the Lord, the grace, touch my heart, Lord, tell me how much I should donate, how much it is that, because I want to do this for you. You're not giving these donations to Radio Maria just because Peter is a good person. He's my friend. He's wonderful. The sisters. No, you give charitably because you want to give it to God. So ask the Lord what it is. And, you know, this reminds me of a script passage in the scripture. There was a problem with demonic possessions or whatever problems. Anyway, it doesn't have demonic possessions, but prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. So talking about mortification, you know, how we offer sufferings, voluntary sufferings, it's mortification. We do not wait until the Lord sends us suffering. If we can mortify, we can voluntarily suffer for the love of God, that's even more preferable. I don't remember the passage, but the Lord talks about he prefers voluntary suffering, voluntary mortification. So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So please donate and help us to continue this wonderful program. God bless you.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me also in volume one, again, Jesus, he states this, please listen to these words. Faith and hope give way to charity, and charity connects all the rest of the other two together in such a way as to make them one while they are three. And here is how, oh, my spouse, the Trinity of the divine persons is concealed in the three theological virtues. And then he continues, if faith makes one believe and hope makes one hope, charity makes one love. Wow. End quote. Just like Mother said. Hello, Sister Elizabeth.
Hi, Peter.
You look great. You look radiant today. Is it the is it your aura today, or is it the direction of the sun at this time of the day?
No, it's because right after I'm going to.
Well, because you're sitting next to Mother. That's fine.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, I'm sitting right next to Mother. They were saying before. Yeah, it just reminded me. Yeah, one quick to go back what Mother said about the souls in the purgatory. It just reminded me there's a passage there was I think a priest in purgatory that Luisa was praying for, and she was praying that he be clothed in a divine sanctity, divine holiness, divine beauty, and to be covered with the blood of Jesus in the divine will. And now I don't remember the passage, but the priest told her, oh, please repeat it for me over and over again. And for all the souls in the purgatory, you don't know how much consolation you brought me with that. So, yeah, there's this beautiful prayer from Luisa that I think, of course, Jesus taught her. If you try to look at it on the internet, you will find it for sure. And then I was just reading here. And the other thing, well, when you were mentioning about charity, it's really all about loving God. And I mean, when you love God, when you love the head, the Christ, the head, you love the members, which are the souls, and It's really like, whatever you do in the divine will, whether it's suffering or even enjoyments, the joys of life, the happy things, all focused on God. As soon as you notice that your focus is not on God, even when you start overanalyzing your own weaknesses, your own failures. Jesus tells Luisa so many times, he doesn't want her to do that because it takes away the focus from him and it takes away peace. So as soon as you notice, like, be attentive to always be, focused on him, towards him. So I was reading in the volume 36, August 12th, 1938, Jesus telling to us through Luisa, my daughter, our love is almost unbelievable. When we have to manifest the truth regarding our will, first we love it within ourselves. We make it easier. We adapt it to the human intelligence so that the creature can easily understand it and make it her own life. How good is our God? He adapts to each one of us, really. We provide it with our love, and then we make it known. As a sweetheart who wants to give himself to her. That's so sweet. As life feeling the need to be formed in her, but not yet satisfied, we purify the human intelligence. That is also very consoling. We invest it with our light and we renew it, so that it may know our truth, kiss it and close it within itself and give it all the freedom to form its life, remaining transformed in that truth. So each one of our truths brings our divine life into the creature as a lover that loves and wants to be loved. Our love is such that we adapt ourselves to the human conditions to facilitate this knowledge. since if we know each other, it is easier to win the human will to ourselves. It will have the interest in possessing its God. Without knowledge, the ways are closed, the communications broken, and we remain as the God far away from the creatures, even though we are inside and outside of them, and they remain far away from us. Nobody can possess a good without knowing it. Therefore, we want to make known that everything becomes divine life within one who lives in the divine will. In everything she does, thinking, speaking, working, walking, loving, my fiat, possessing its creative virtue, lays its life down, and thinks, speaks, works, walks, and loves, forming the operating, the speaking creation, using that creature to continue its creation, or to do even more beautiful things. And then this is just the amazing part when Jesus says, so creation is not finished, but still continues in the soul who live in our will. And if the order, beauty, and power of our works can be seen in the creation, then the love, order, and beauty of our creative virtue will be seen in the creature, repeating our divine lives each time the creature gives us her acts to let us work. The creature is life. It operates differently than creation. Therefore, we feel an irresistible love to form our lives within her. Oh, how we fling ourselves, how happy we are, how our love finds its rest and our will, its completion, which is forming our life in her. The works and the steps of those who do not live in our will are instead without life, like painted pictures that cannot receive any life. They can neither give life nor can they produce any good. There cannot be life or good without my will. I mean, this passage is so packed with truths and meanings and like amazing things that it's just mind-blowing.
Can you imagine what he says there? Sister, he says that in essence that he is allowing us to participate in the continuation of creation. Now, did we ever think as a young child, oh, I'm going to be helping God in creation when I get older? that would have sounded like nonsense, but it's here. And you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of a quote that someone said. He said, quote, the natural moral law can never be abolished from the heart of man. St. Thomas Aquinas says that in the Summa. Good is stronger than evil. God always wins, and he always surprises us and prepare something better than we could ever have imagined, as he showed us with our Blessed Mother, and now he shows us through our Blessed Mother the gift of living in the divine will, to participate in creation. It's you can't comprehend it.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's so unbelievable that I was really mind blown when I read it. I mean, how good, how great is our God? Like, really, he gives us so much that is, I mean, you know, it's we are becoming truly like him, you know, he gives us all, and it's just so unbelievable, but it's so, I mean, it's so interior, but then also, you know, it says that you will see the unbelievable miracles, but you know, the work is interior, like he's in us, and while we do the acts and rounds, and by the inspirations of God, by the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, you know, like offering divine version of lives of like people from the past or people from the future or the souls in purgatory, like really God is so creative, and he will put this creativity in us because he wants to make also out of us like the portents. And he was telling Luisa in another passage that he wants to make from out of children who will live in the divine will, he wants to make the most beautiful statues of the New Jerusalem. So, I mean, this is also such a beautiful comparison. And then speaking about, we were speaking before about suffering and then also joys and happinesses. In another passage, he's telling Luisa how every stone in New Jerusalem will be round. When I read that, I was like, okay, Lord, what does this mean? but he was trying to explain her by an imagery that he wants her to be like indifferent in a way, always in the same perfect peace, whether in the suffering or in the greatest joys and happinesses. Like, yeah, always like the same kind of.
Yeah, and you know what? We are, God is allowing us to become more like him. And God is charitable. So if God is charitable and he wants us to be like him, then we must be charitable also. So please, during this Mariathon, contact Radio Maria, give what you can. The great thing here is that God knows what we can give and what we cannot give. So if we can't give, God knows we're off the hook. But if we can give and we're not, he, as he says to Luis, he's watching, he's spying, he's looking at us. What are we going to do? How are we going to help what he wants to help us with? So please go to radiomaria.us. Or simply call 888-408-0201. And again, the School of Mary will offer you two gifts, the I Am Catholic card and the Luisa Picaretta prayer relic card with a piece of Luisa's clothing. Mother?
Yeah, you know, Mother Angelica was a great witness to divine providence. She ran a big television network with no money, you know, and people would give, and all those people who would give to her were blessed so much. I remember when she went down to South America and the child Jesus El Nino came alive to her and he said, build me a temple and I will help those who help you. So five families brought the property for her. They built it. And all five families started off as one. They all started off their businesses in the garage and they got to be multimillionaires. And they all got back within a year or two, everything more of doubled what they had given Mother. So, you know, God cannot be outdone in generosity. So whatever you give, you're going to get much, much more in return. It might not be monetarily gifts given to you in that way, but it'd be gifts of graces, gifts of joy. When we give, we have a joy. We have a great joy, you know. And Mother Teresa said, you know, that there's a book about India, where she lived, Calcutta. It's called the City of Joy, because the people there have nothing. They live on the streets, but with the little bit they have, they give it to someone else, and they have this great joy. They might have one little coin, and one of their street people needs it. They give it away, and they have all this great joy. So as you give, you're going to find that you're going to receive great joy, many blessings, many graces, and you're going to grow in holiness from it. So I encourage you to give. If you want this radio network to continue on, we have to pay for it. You have to give for it. AWTN has been on the air since 1981, 24 hours a day. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, but it's kept together by people who give $5 and $10 donations. Mother Angelica says if everybody gave a dollar, she could keep the network on, everybody watching. So, you know, give and you're going to find that God is going to bless you abundantly in many ways.
That's right. That's right. And for those who can give more, you know, again, we can step in the breach and we can pay that dollar for all those that cannot pay that dollar, pay that dollar. And for all of you who don't know Mother knows what she's speaking about. She spent 35 years or so at EWTN under the guidance of Mother Angelica. In fact, I think, for lack of a better phrase, Mother Gabriel was the right-hand sister to Mother Angelica. I think the secretary was one of your titles that you had there. So you knew.
I was a vicar. Yeah, vicar. And she was busy at EWTN. So I was kind of doing a lot of things for her there. But I was her secretary, vicar. That's what a vicar does. Mm-hmm. She really does the work for the abbess, you know.
And I know from my corporate world that the secretary of a corporation knows better the workings of the corporation than the president does. I can be honest with you there. So that's great. And again, Mother, he's not asking us to give what we don't have. I mean, sometimes we do. I mean, look at the woman in scripture with the 2 pence. I mean, she gave literally nothing compared to what the others gave, but God was so enamored because she gave everything. Are we willing to give everything?
Yeah.
Probably not at this time, but as we give, as you mentioned earlier, we become graced, filled by giving, and the giving becomes easier. And again, we are given in return for what we give. Again, we're not giving so that we may return, but God is gratuitous. He's fair. He's just. And he knows what we need. And he knows what we can do. And that's all he's asking. So please go to RadioMaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. Mother, got about a minute or two. Close with you.
Well, I just encourage everyone out there to just really get into the divine will, read the volumes, do what it says, apply what you learn there. You're going to love it. And just if you have a bad day, just sit down and read 10, 15 minutes of a divine will, and your day is going to change. You're going to get a joy and a peace. Our Lord gives us special graces through these great writings that he gave to Louisa. She was just his secretary. He did our Lord wrote these books. He used Louisa's hand to write them, but our Lord is the one who wrote these books. Very special writing. So I encourage you all to get them. If you want to get them, you can come to our website, benedictionsofdivinewill.org, and you go to our family page. You can find the volumes there. Everything that you need would be there. Also, with Mary's Hill, Peter's got Mary's Hill, a great website. It's got everything you could find about the divine will there. So I encourage you all to seek these things out if you don't have them, and you can find that you're going to really be blessed.
Thank you, Mother. Yes, queenofthedivinewill.org. And, you know, on this feast day of Our Lady of Pillar, she again appeared to St. James to help comfort and encourage their journey, their quest. She's doing the same in a greater proportion now with bringing us her son's gift of living in the divine will. It's no greater than this. Again, we finally arrived. We really are. And we have everything we need. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother, for your fiat, for your vocation, and for all your sister's love and tenderness in this beautiful gift as we journey together. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone. Ciao.
Ciao. God bless.